Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning Wrap Up Podcast for episode 4. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Usher. Allie, how are you?
I'm great. Love this episode, but not going to lie, when I tuned in to see that it was called The Affair, I was tempted to bail on the episode and the podcast in its entirety.
Very troublesome title. I got to start looking at titles more. I never do that. You always do. I never look at titles.
It's only because for the summer, I'm watching on MTV.com, so it tells me, it like hits you in the face.
Right. Can't miss it.
But it was a misdirect, because I thought it was going to be about Carr and Polly.
It was the close affair. The close affair.
Can't be too mad at that. Also, no. Just right at the top of the show, because people are going to bitch about it, our sound quality is probably trash. My microphone broke like literally seconds before we started recording. So we're doing the best we can on a drunk ass budget.
You know what? When MTV adds people back into a show, that's when we have poor audio. So blame MTV for adding people back. When they cut people, that's when our audio was crisp and clear.
Are you saying that because they always add people?
Yes.
We always
exactly. It's a classic out anytime this happens.
Our audio may not be delivering this or any season, but the drama is certainly delivering this season. I can say that for final reckoning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a pretty strong start, even though we've only had one actual, I think, challenge. But it won a couple eliminations. But I think it's been a pretty fun start. So I think the twist, the format at least, is pretty strong so far.
Do we open with the drinking game or do we close with the drinking game?
I think we could open with it. Let's recount where we're at.
First of all, most of the applicants for CPO have fallen off. So I think it's more like this is our version of like, I want to work for Diddy, except we just continue to beg people to help us. And the last man or woman standing will just get the title. Right. So kudos to everyone still in the running. Also, kudos to those people who just gave up. I feel that. I didn't pull the names of people this week.
It's totally fair. I think if we can keep one for the entire season, that'll be more than I expected. So
I will name the person when only one person tweets at us or messages Brian secretly.
Perfect.
But what do you have to add to the final reckoning drinking game?
So I didn't have a good one this week. The one I thought of because they discussed like a Big Brother alliance. So I think anytime they mention another show, drink.
I think that's excellent. Now, what is another show? Is The Real World or Are You the One another show?
Yeah. Anything that's okay. Not the challenge. I think if they say, oh, it's a Real World blank alliance, it's an Are You the One alliance, blah, 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 blah. Anytime they mention another show, drink.
I hope that people hear this podcast. I think that was a good one. Yeah. I'm between two. One is a give up because I didn't think we had a lot to work with this episode. But I'm between two. I'll go with the one that I originally thought of, which is, because the other one's kind of a safety. I could use it any week. I don't really have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime, and we'll have to finesse it. I feel like mine are never, like, clean. But it'll have to develop. Anytime somebody cites an absurd use for the prize money, and it's either like Darrell wanting to buy a camper or it's like Jenna being like, I'm going to buy this redemption house. So it's either something strange, like the camper as your goal for the money, or it's something that costs way more than the prize money, like that chateau they're saying.
Right. So basically those are the only two options of the things that they discuss. So it's basically anytime they mention what they're going to do with the prize money, because no one has any rational reasons for it. So it's basically anything.
Well, again, always err on the side of drinking, but if Cara is going to say, I want to build a gym in Montana, that's fine. That's right. Like in her wheelhouse. You can still feel free to drink.
Yeah. And student loans, I guess, is a viable one. But yeah, but for the most part, it's going to be outlandish or inconceivable.
Anytime somebody cites a use for the prize money and it makes you laugh or smirk, take a drink.
Perfect. There we
Maybe
go.
Maybe that's
I
it.
I think those are two solid additions.
We're making the best of a bad situation. Not that this episode was bad, but it didn't lend itself to any good drinking.
No, it did not, unfortunately. So what do we have as a recap for this week?
What do you mean? Like how many things were done?
Yeah, or just like a recap, just quickly recap the entire episode so we can close the book quickly.
I wasn't sure if you meant, like, let's just run down the rules, like, just the rules, or you want, like, a count of the drinks.
Yeah, just where the how many drinks? Is that, like, a thing we're doing?
Oh, I don't know. People gave me two different... I got one person who just said that Kill a Cam was the only one, and then I got one person who said there were six drinks, and they didn't even count Kill a Cam. So what I can tell you is our potential chief party officer is doing their job by drinking and unable to produce an actual count of the episode. I don't need somebody to count... I don't need somebody to count the drinks. I just want someone to keep track of the rules.
Okay, that's fair.
Because, like, again, always there on the side of drinking. So somebody's going to come in and be like, I drank 30 times during the episode. And you'll be like, why? It's like, because you said err on the side of drinking. That's the number one rule.
I think that's a good way to do it. We'll keep tracking the rules, not the results.
One thing when we got I just thought of something I meant to ask you before we started recording, but I didn't, so...
Let's do it live. Let's go. Live.
No, instead, you'll just... It's based on people's questions. I wasn't sure if I missed a part of the episode, but now I'm just going to fake it till I make it, and you'll never know. Anyway, let's talk about the Redemption House. Natalie and Polly make it in. We get a bit of, like, insight into why, like, to quote Michael Scott, like, why are you the way you are? Where Polly's like, my parents used to say, like, if you're not the best, if you're the best, you're either the best or you're not. I mean, that was so not a part of my life that I can't even repeat it.
Right.
I don't even know how it works. But, you know, to have two brothers who are both athletes and, like, your parents are pushing this, like, you need to be number one mentality. We get a little bit more sensitive of why Polly is how he is. And then he blows it all up the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, when you're born in the suburbs and wear Abercrombie, this is usually the only outcome for you. So,
Polly's from New Jersey. My ex-boyfriend used to play, like, soccer with Cody or something. So that's a direct attack on me.
Direct.
I was bred for this.
I know this is going to, like, I don't like Polly, but I am very much warming up to him as a TV character on my show because he's just wildly preposterous with how over the top he is that it's. I'm finding it entertaining.
Did you say on my show or on the show?
I may have said my. I don't know. I don't know. I don't listen to myself speak, so I hope I said that.
Oh, that's awesome.
But is that like a wrong take to have?
No, people are drooling over Polly on the show. I mean, you know me. Like, I can't stand Polly. But, like, is it nice to see somebody shaking things up and not just, like, bananas? You know, it's like Kyle, too. Like, Kyle sucks. Polly sucks. Kara sucks. But they're the driving storyline of the first four episodes. And are you not entertained?
You have to be. And I just love the way he just, like, delves it. Like, he really treats this like war, but it's, like, so far from anything close to that. And he's just like, I'm gonna, like, mentally get in there, I'm gonna mess with them, and they've never seen anything like this before, I'm gonna plan my attack. And it's like, what are you even talking about? But he believes it, that he makes me believe it.
Well, I think that's the difference between, say, Devin and Polly, and also the difference between me and you. Like, I don't love watching somebody who's not at all in on the joke. Like, Devin is not, Polly is not making me believe any of this. It's almost to the point where I'm starting to feel bad for him because, like you're saying, like, he does believe it. Like, this is serious to him and he fully believes the shit he's selling. Whereas, like, a Devin or even a Bananas, right, are in on the joke. And I don't think that Polly, after a decade of being on the challenge, won't be. But, like, Bananas and Devin are, like, producing these moments. Like, Devin talks a lot about, like, sort of the mental game and breaking people down. But, like, it's not as serious and therefore not as terrifying. Whereas, like, Polly's, I feel like, entire life is psychological warfare and he's just applying it to the challenge.
Like, he was like that kid who, like, treat like tag or hide and go seek. Like, I'm going to scout out the location. I'm going to, like, be there hours before. I'm going to pick my spot because this is battle. This is war and I'm going to win. Like, he's just, I mean, he's bred for this. Like, this is the show he was meant to be on so much more than Big Brother is this. That way he can go, like, all out in a much smaller and shorter time span than Big Brother. Like, this is the show he was bred for.
Well, I do think, and I've been thinking about this a lot because we definitely said that about Natalie too in her first season. And it's sort of like, who is meant for Big Brother? Like, I almost think, like, Big Brother is the most, like, I always used to say, like, oh, if I was ever going to be on a reality show, the only one I'd even consider going on is Big Brother, but I'd never go on anything. But, like, Big Brother is, like, a safe zone. Like, you want to get on TV, unless you're racist, like, you're going to be okay. You're not going to embarrass yourself. Like, you're not going to have to eat anything gross. Like, you could just kind of chill in the house, and then you'll go home, and you go home, and maybe you'll get 500,000. So I almost, like, don't know that anybody is, like, fully meant for Big Brother. Like, I feel like you could always sort somebody onto a show that would, like, better expose their truest personality. And in that sense, I totally agree that Pauly is, like, Pauly was on the challenge when he was on Big Brother. Like, now Pauly's on the challenge on the challenge.
Yep, exactly.
And while we're talking about people from near our hometowns, like Cody, again, I would say, I tell this on the podcast, I don't know, I was, like, at, like, some sort of, like, romp around for adults. Like, I don't know, like, one of those, like, indoor sports arcade complexes, and like Cody Califiori was like doing an appearance, and it was just like I was there accidentally and I immediately left.
That's the level of appearances the Big Brother people are doing at like arcades.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, but that's also the level of place that I was at on like a Saturday, so let's be a little kinder. I think said our kids are super fun. I was like, I don't have children, I was just there. But like, so he's definitely from near where I'm from. You also have somebody from your area on a show that I would normally say is off topic, but it's not really off topic.
No. My girl, Caitlin, who was like my favorite person to ever come across my TV screen in my entire life, went to my high school.
Who I also didn't like, but I'm like a week behind. So I hear that like the best is yet to come.
Oh my God. One of my favorite TV moments of all time. I watched it like a dozen times.
What's your age difference? Like, were you in high school with her?
So we're 4 years different. So I guess
brutal.
But there's actually like a fun degree of connection. She is really good friends with someone who will probably be on the show in a couple weeks. Dane, his sister, and her are very good friends.
Yeah, breaking news are happening now.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. The best. Oh,
this is why you come.
Put her on MTV. Can't wait for it.
I don't think so. I think CBS isn't going to offer it.
That's fair.
Speaking of Big Brother. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was good. No, we're going down a rabbit hole. We're good.
I'm just not sure that my computer's not going to explode and we won't be able to finish the podcast. That's my sense of urgency. It's not. Not that I'm like done with hearing what you're saying. I just am like, oh, shit.
It's the risk we take.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, we have a question about Davon, because, again, we spend the beginning of this episode in a deep run into the Redemption House. Jonathan Lilia says, does Davon and her confessionals getting back in the house lighten the departure of Jemmy and her confessionals? This is, like, the first episode we really saw Davon doing Davon.
Yeah, and this was really the first, like, Josiah didn't really have anything much going on, and he at least had some confessionals, and I think adding Davon into the mix is fun because it's different. Like, we know what Jemmy's gonna do, we know what Jenna's gonna do, and I think Brittany and Chuck were so perfectly meant for the Redemption House that putting them in the house I think would have ruined it. So I think adding Davon and Josiah into this house is a fun addition, and see how it affects things.
Yeah, I have a question that asks you basically for your exact answer you just gave to this question, but like, I just thought at first Day's confessionals were very Big Brother. Like, you know, you go in the diary room and the producer's like, be loud, scream, louder, louder, more energy. And like, Day is like screaming basically at the confessionals. But towards the end of the episode, I thought Day came more around. And again, with more time on the challenge, would be more the challenge of Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that I don't know one contestant on the show's actual name? Pronounce Davon's partner's name again.
Josiah?
Why did I think his name was Jose? Which I said, I'm
Josiah?
So... I think you must be right, but it's just so funny that we're four episodes...
pronunciation.
Well, we're four episodes. It's like Alicia and Alicia all over again.
Well, what if I were to tell you that a person named Joss is on this season? Would you believe me?
Is that not pronounced Joss?
Oh, man, he is just like... I mean, poor him. I don't think he's had a confessional or a moment on the show.
Okay, wait. I think we have... Jose is, his name is J-O-Z-E-A.
Yeah.
But I believe he goes by like Josiah, like the Messiah.
That's what I
like,
thought.
That was a self. Now, is that a self-giving nickname or is that the pronunciation of J-O-Z-E-A? This is for the drinking game. I need to, now I need clarification.
I think if he refers to himself as the Messiah, then it's a self-given nickname. Or a third-person nickname.
Are you saying you're that confident that his name, that J-O-Z-E-A, is pronounced Josiah?
I am 0% confident about the pronunciation of any word.
All right, somebody will yell at us on Twitter about this, and I'll appreciate it.
Perfect.
Or nobody's listening because the audio quality is so terrible, and this is all a waste of our time.
Can't wait for that.
What do you think of the Messiah? I don't know what to call him the rest of this episode. Unfortunately, he has a lot of screen time for the first time. Shit-talking Britney.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting when people in this realm all agree of that someone being crazy, because that's like the second degree level crazy that like you have to like be like, you have to be a little taken aback by it. When these people are calling people crazy, that person must be way out there. And I think Britney's crazy, but when they're all agreeing she's crazy, that's like a deep level of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction to this was like, this newbie needs to stop like running his mouth when he doesn't understand where things stand in the house. That said, I would be in that house for 2 seconds and I'd be shit talking the entire cast. So I really shouldn't say anything about anyone's social game. Because I talk crap about these people and I'm have nothing to do with the challenge. Right. So I want to get on him for that because he's sort of and raising Natalie's eyebrows, but who really cares? And it seems like based on the preview jumping ahead, he's not going to stop anytime soon.
Nope. Doesn't seem like it.
What about Robo Shane? Robo Shane and Brad have a chat about Britney that goes a little bit differently back at the main house.
Yeah, it was very odd. Shane was almost trying to toss Brad under the bus by saying like, oh, it seems like you don't even care that Britney's here, that like you're so happy and you're able to be yourself. And
no offense, Brad, though. No offense. I don't mean anything by it.
No offense. Like, she's great, but no offense. But you're a lot better off without her. And then at least he was like kind of covered his tracks. Where he was like, no, I actually do really miss her. I'm like just putting up a face and all that stuff. But Shane really tried to sell Brad down the river.
Kudos to you for paying so much attention during that segment when Shane had a rotisserie chicken lamp on his head. Clayton Odell says, does Shane's hair-saving machine actually work, asking for a friend?
I mean, I guess we'll find out come the reunion, right? We'll see if he comes out with glowing locks like Leo, then we know what's going on.
I mean, that's a fair point because he only bought it after Vendettas, and this series was filmed like 2 seconds after Vendettas.
Yeah.
But I also saw on Twitter one of the tweets our DCM Megan Elizabeth sent in was like Marie saying that Shane wore that every single minute of the day and like tried to have serious conversations with people. But I did do some investigative research by Google imaging Shane, and it looks about the same.
The same.
Well, time will tell. Maybe he's doing this because he wants to get hair plugs. I mean, Shane's hair is fine, but like maybe he wants to get hair plugs, but realized he talked too much shit about Kyle. So he's wearing this and then he'll go get hair plugs and he'll be like, look, the machine works.
Not a bad strategy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's my theory. We might, depending on how much time we get with him in the hat next episode, that could be on the radar for drinking.
I was thinking about that, but that, and then we can add any type of other augmentation to people's self that they bring in. Could you imagine if they actually had like, what was it when they had like the one item from home that they can bring and like
luxury item?
Yeah, like all the things that Shane would bring would be like a hair replacement hat. Like that would be incredible.
I feel like it's like a visor. I don't know. I'm going to have fun. I hope we see more of this because
yes,
the wheels are turning on things I could call this.
That's a whole new level of Mitch watch.
Yeah, well, I actually saw Mitch on, I follow, not only do I follow Cheyenne and Corey, but I also follow Ryder, their daughter.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a big fan, but Uncle Mitch made an appearance on Cheyenne's Instagram story yesterday, and it really was like a Mitch watch because he was on it for like a second. They just like, she was scanning the people at a game with them, and it was like, and Mitch!
So they're fully like co-parenting, right? That's what their situation is right now?
Everything, all the social media checks out.
Good. Good for them.
The kid's so cute. What's not so cute, Nelson and Kaylee?
I mean, the conversation, as much as you were looking forward to the Charles and Brittany conversation, this was like so far low on my radar. Like, I could not give a crap.
I am clutching my pearls, Brian, because I thought you were going to say, as much as you were looking forward to Brittany and Chuck, this is what I was looking forward to. And I was like, wow, I know you give Nelson credit for liking the challenge, but my God, at what cost?
No, 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 no.
Woo! Okay, that was a roller coaster of 3 seconds.
Yeah, keep it on your toes. I mean,
can we go ahead? Because I don't know what to make of this even situation.
I mean, I didn't realize there were even things to sort out. I thought they just kind of like they basically tried to make it work after the show. She was still pissed about him spreading the rumors about bananas, and they just hate each other. Like, I don't know what else was there to talk out, but I guess they still both love each other, even though clearly Kayla is using Nelson, and Nelson doesn't realize that.
We did get a flashback to what I forgot even happened when Kaylee voted with bananas, which screwed Nelson last season. I think that was like a big factor. And also, I don't know, like, I'm so sick of Kaylee being like, they spread a rumor about me. Like, can we just admit that they did hook up early in that? Like, is there any doubt that these two folks hooked up? And now I sound like an 80-year-old man saying that folks hooked up.
But even if they did, I never understood why that would be a big deal. Because wasn't it supposed to be like the first couple of days that they were there? So that was even before her and Nelson were even a thing. And it's not like either of them were in relationships at the time. So I don't know why it's not even that serious of a rumor.
He believed a rumor about me. And it's like, just say it happened. He found out that I hooked up with bananas and got pissy. But I also voted against him in favor of the gentleman bananas. And but I was also shocked. So Nelson goes to visit her after being eliminated. And what kills me is he's like, that's not me. Like, I don't always talk game. Does anybody believe that Nelson doesn't completely talk about the challenge to every single person in his life at all times?
Yeah. Especially right after he gets eliminated. Hysterically, didn't he say he flew out there and just left, like, after one night at, like, 5 a.m.? Like, that was just his time there? Classic.
I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Love Island, which anyone's welcome to talk to me about. And so I want to use British slang. Like, she definitely pied him off after a day, and that's why he left.
Sure. You got into the Great British Bake Off.
No. Pied him off is like dumped him. Or you can mug him off too.
Ooh.
That'll also be like a learning experience for everyone throughout the podcast.
Didn't she write a paper about the different slangs and what they meant, but like Jersey ones or something like that?
Paper is generous. I wrote a blog post on Jordy Shore, and I want to do the same thing so they use things have evolved. Slang has changed.
It has. It evolves.
Then, like, am I in the Twilight Zone? Not only because I have no idea what happened with Nelson and Kaylee, but also because Dak is saying nice things about Jenna for a change.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually being... I mean, he's being sweet, but it's also, like, kind of in a classic Zach way where he's like, you know, Jenna's just, like, loved me for so long, and I just, like, finally admitted it that, like, I also care about her. It's like, also, he wasn't, like, fully there.
He had me believing it. I was like, wow, Zach's actually being nice. I'm shocked. And then I got brought back down to earth by Nelson comparing his relationship with Kaylee to Zach and Jenna as though it's even remotely on the same level.
I can't believe the Zach and Jenna thing has been like 5 years in the making. Like, that's crazy how time flies.
It's more like should reflect. I mean, I'll make everything about me. Like, holy shit, I've been talking about those two for 5 years.
Crazy. I guess I'm rooting for them. I guess
I'm rooting for them. Well, that's high praise from us.
I mean, Zach hasn't been like a gigantic douche really in a while. So I guess when he cheated on her, that was kind of being a giant douche. But in other ways, he's been okay. So I don't know.
Yeah, when he just like totally ghosted her.
Yeah. Still a couple years ago. I don't know.
What do you think of Shane catching bananas in a lion head boat? How did bananas handle that in your mind?
He didn't handle it great, but this was like the type of conversation I did enjoy seeing, because this is the type of conversation I wanted them to have after all the voting. I mean obviously in normal banana's take, his logic doesn't make any sense, but like for him reacting this way is not like surprising. So normally this could come off as like a guilty reaction, but this is how he reacts to anything, so I could see him brushing it off. I'm just curious how Shane like actually narrowed it down to figure it out.
Well, you exposed everyone who voted for. Didn't you argue this last week that you can figure out who voted for who?
Well, we could figure it out because we got to see who everyone voted, like who the teams were that voted for the people that weren't eliminated. But they couldn't see that.
But Shane, you saw who voted for Polly and Natalie.
Right, Shane, there were two other teams who got votes, right? Or three other teams?
So I think you just figure, and I don't have it in front of me who voted for who, but like, you just figure Shane has to have some elite, like Shane's close with Marie, right? I'm sure he can get an honest answer of who they voted for. Like, he knows he's not close to Finn. Like, I think you can eliminate it based on your alliances or your like friendships. But I think also like the reason that Bananas is able to have this little hissy fit is because Shane really doesn't 100% know. And Bananas can just say like, well, your entire theory falls apart if just one person is lying to you. So like, why would I be the person lying to you? I think Bananas also acted like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, and he also is dealing with the fact that a lot of like Shane's probably one of the smarter people in the house. So it's like he could be onto him, but he's probably a lot easier to trick everyone else. The fact that he's not correct.
Right. I just think like Bananas acted like a complete baby, and I'm surprised that Bananas like has like, including myself, like gets rewarded for having such a good social game. Because anybody else acting like this, we'd be like, that person just completely revealed that he obviously voted for Shane by like stomping out of the room and saying he needed to relax. Like,
right.
But somehow he pulls it off.
Yep. I mean, I guess he does. We didn't really get to see the reaction from everyone about if they believe Shane or not. So kind of to be determined.
The biggest surprise, though, is not Bananas. Like you said, no surprise of how Bananas act. But Angela has a boyfriend?
Yeah, who knew?
That is not a big enough reaction.
I mean, the fact that someone's going to, like, flirt and cheat and sort of do stuff in the Challenge House is not, like, super surprising.
Well, she tweeted about this, to clarify it, because I was in all caps mode. Freaking out about this, not very casual at all. I have zero chill, you have some chill. Angela said, PSA, I didn't have a boyfriend at home. I had a whole entire child that I left the second I got back. If you were close to me in the house, you knew that. Anyway, my ex was stealing from my PayPal as I was sitting on Johnny's lap and still hasn't run me my money. So I, quote, paid for that and then some. Boom.
Damn, that's laying down the law. Although I guess he still kind of got the money, so.
What a fun twist to say I didn't have a boyfriend, I had a child, which is I had a boyfriend.
Yeah, like at first fit. I thought I did like a double take as like that she did have a kid, and then I understood the context. But that's a good way to phrase your ex-boyfriend now.
Also, cash out your PayPal, girl. Why are you keeping so much money in your PayPal?
Yeah, who does that? That's weird.
I don't know. But so we're just... Listen to us, Angela. Words of wisdom.
Yeah. Always empty out that PayPal. Always empty out that Venmo. Keep password protect on for Venmo. Look out.
Do you agree with the criticism that this is just Bananas and Natalie all over again?
I mean, it's sort of true. I mean, it's also just like a classic MO that a lot of vets have done over the years of going after rookie girls that are looking for attention, don't really know the way the game and show and the people work, and it's just easy to kind of reel in votes. So, I mean, I wouldn't even call it a criticism. I just think it's just something that Bananas is just going to do.
See, I don't feel like this is exactly the same. Like, I get that, like, it's a vote grab, and it's like, I get what everyone is saying, but to me, it feels entirely different in a way that's, like, more fun, and that Angela is, and it's like a little bit more real. And I don't mean real in terms of like real love, but they're not like putting it in our face like, I really do like him or I really do like her in a way that doesn't feel genuine.
Yeah, I mean, I think the attraction is probably more there this time around than Bananas Natalie. I think they both probably really are into each other, and there's a much higher likelihood that they will hook up at some point this season, or at the very least in the off season or next season. But I mean, I think it's still strictly game for both of them.
Right. I mean, don't even tell me that, because I ship this so hard. Maybe that's the difference.
You're me last season.
This feels different to me because I ship it.
Perfect.
All right. The double cross. I feel like my transitions were like better than they have been, and I just gave up.
It's all right. It's just got the redemption is on. So we find out like how people are going to be determined to get back into the house. We find out that the double cross is back. One person will pull it and they get to pick their opponent, sending the other two people home.
I'm not ready for this redemption house to end. Like, I was upset that this crew is going to break up. Does it feel too soon, or is this the right time to bring someone back in?
I mean, it probably could have waited like another week and added one more team, but I kind of get the structure, especially since they're keeping a team there. I wouldn't mind if them waiting another week, because that just means in like three more weeks, or I guess probably like six more weeks based on the elimination schedule, is when we're going to do this all over again.
I just don't think, besides like Kara and Polly, maybe, but I don't think they're going to end up, I don't know, we'll see. Like, I don't see us getting a better crew suited for the Redemption House Mayhem than we had.
Yeah, but I kind of think we maxed out with the Brittany and Chuck stuff. I think they got to a point where now things are pretty cordial, that I think we kind of maxed out with that. Jenny and Jenna weren't really adding stuff. I think we got a lot out of this crew.
Totally disagree. Break my heart, why don't you?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think we got a lot, and I think we're ready to reset the board.
I like that they're, I mean, I like your attitude about it, right? Because that's what's happening. So good that you're on board. I just feel like Jemmy is always, and even Jenna this season, are always going to be the people that you want there reacting to everybody coming back. So that's more how I feel about it. That, like, I wouldn't want these four people, these, like, four couples to stay in isolation. But as people come back, like, I'm definitely going to miss, like, even Jose, who would stir shit up with the Truth or Dare, and Jemmy, and like having people who basically create entertainment value as with the new people who come in, as opposed mm-hmm. to like who people are going to sit in bed and just like focus on getting back in the game.
So maybe instead of sending the two teams home, they don't like they go back to the Redemption House, but they're also not eligible. They just like are going to hang out there, and they're like
terrible. Boo! Yeah. I send that out the door. That's not even going to Redemption House. It's going straight home.
So what do you make of how they're doing it this season with picking your opponent, the loser stays, the other two people go home, all the whole nine yards? What do you make of it?
Well, we got a couple questions about this. I don't want to just talk over those questions, so let me see. Sorry, because I have this all over the place. Well, let's see. Just in terms of general formatting, this will be a specific question, but I think it tees up our formatting question. Tyler Morton Caribo says, is it odd that Polly and Natalie didn't get eliminated and just went back to the Redemption House? And Edward Morris said, since the losers go back to Redemption House, is it better to pick to face an ally so they stay in the game rather than face a weak team? Okay, so the way that this works, I think it's like a little strange that everything is based off the double cross, and then you pick then two people, you get to directly send two people home. Like, I think that seems like a lot of power to have. I thought it was going to be like the two people who don't get picked go back to the house. But the way that the format is, I think it actually induces people not to pick an ally, but to just pick the weakest team possible, which shocked me that they picked Jose and Devon to go against in this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think it's tough because you want to, I think what it will do is honestly, it'll add to people forming alliances in the Redemption House. And it's sort of like, so now Paul and Natalie, they'll have a lot of time with whoever get eliminated next, and they can try to come to an understanding of like, we'll pick you, you pick us type of dealing, which adds a new layer to the Redemption House they never really had before. Before it was just them just hanging out and whoever just wins comes back. At least now there is a reason to kind of see the dynamics there, to see if there are any alliances and agreements being made.
But isn't that all bullshit? Because only one person's going to get called on it, and the other two people are going to go home. Like, they're not going to face any consequences for reneging on any of the deals they make.
Yeah, I mean, but that's fair for this season. But then, I guess, going forward, as they say, they create a vendetta or a rival. But I don't know. I mean, it just adds to at least some level of a dynamic.
Yeah, and that's, in that sense, it's like why I'd rather the two losers go back to Redemption House, the two non-picked. Because then at least you're going to be making like an in-game enemy potentially of two people. And then you're going to send home the person that you do pick, or they'll send you home. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I would rather see some immediate consequence as opposed to see Polly. I mean, Polly burned bridges he didn't need to burn. But like, even the bridges he burns with the girlfriend, like, they leave.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree about the two people not pick. It would make more sense for the loser of the challenge to go home and then the two go back to the house.
Right.
And then that just, like, it just heightens how often we're going to do this. So I think at least this adds another week of eliminated teams going to the Redemption House rather than basically like every other week, whoever gets eliminated has a chance to come back. Unless they kept adding people to it. So I think there's a way to do it, but they would have to mix up timing of when they did the clearing out of the Redemption House.
And that was my other comment on it, that I just generally think that this went way too long. Like, this is too long spent determining who comes back when it's basically random, right? Like, to pick, to do, make such a big thing of the double cross, then not pick the teams till you get to the apocalypse, do a full length apocalypse challenge and only one team comes back and only two teams get eliminated off of that is, to me, too much time spent on too little.
I mean,
generally, I liked it. I just think it's a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no reason why they can't do the double cross at the Armageddon site and just have them pick it right on the spot. They did that exact same thing for the double cross during elimination, so there's no reason why we needed two segments for that. And then, yeah, I mean, for this episode was almost all Redemption House drama. Like, outside of a few things in the main house, it was almost all Redemption House, which almost makes me believe, like, every few weeks we're just going to have a pure Redemption House episode. And that's kind of annoying with how many people there still are in this game and the circumstances going on in the main house.
And it was entertaining. Like, don't get me wrong, it was really entertaining, but it did feel like a bit anticlimactic, and maybe that will get more exciting as tougher teams get eliminated. But, like, there was really, like, if Paulie and Natalie had picked Jemmy and Jenna, which I thought was the obvious choice, like, there would be no excitement. Like, I just think it's because Paulie and Natalie made a stupid decision that we had an exciting episode.
Right, but, I mean, you also don't know exactly what the challenge is. And I can kind of understand them choosing their big brother, and especially because of the fact that, like, they're both still technically in the game. So I kind of see their logic coming from their decision.
I guess I just don't really understand the challenge. Maybe the puzzle challenge Jenna and Jemmy could have won. Maybe Paulie feels burned if he did feel like Cam got an unfair advantage with the amount of bungee that he was like, I'd rather go against a guy-girl team and not have to deal with any, like, adjustments. And definitely, obviously, the Big Brother thing also, but I think it's weird we didn't even get them talking about it.
No, I agree. It's a little odd that we didn't. I mean, we did this whole thing so that way they can have, like, the time at the house to think about their decision, and we didn't really even just get that. So that the whole, like, we didn't see them, like, buttering up the people and trying to make deals and all that stuff that should come along with doing it separately. So if they're not going to do that, they might as well just do it all at their Armageddon site.
And here's the exciting part of I've integrated the tweets into my show notes, but in this week's edition of People Not Understanding Statistics, someone tweeted, but why didn't they choose to make the teams pull the double cross in the order they were eliminated? Paulie and Natalie should have went last. And Jemmy said, this was my argument when I cursed everyone in production. I don't really think that's as strong of an argument.
No, but I can understand of wanting control over your own fate. Like, I mean, I kind of get that.
Well, like, isn't that how statistics work?
I know it's like a stupid argument. I know it's a stupid argument, but you just want that control. Like, when something doesn't go your way and you didn't have any say in it, you want to do something to fix it.
Well, it's also like when Paulie was taking credit for pulling the double cross, like, Natalie wants me to listen to her gut, but she has no say in this. I'm taking control. Like, what a strange,
yeah.
Like, thing to take credit for. Like, only Paulie or honestly, anyone on the challenge would probably do that. But, like, yep. Wow, that.
Like, how can you know? Like, again, like, even like anyone who does this, like, oh, I feel it's gonna be this one. No, I feel it's gonna be that one. Like, no one knows. You're taking a complete shot in the dark.
So I feel like you probably said this before when you said you kind of felt like everybody ran their course in the Redemption House. But PJ Gahan says, was this the worst case scenario for producers? Jenna and Jemmy and Brittany and Chuck go home, denying entertainment and two interesting romantic dynamics. Jenna hating Zach's partner and love triangle, and Jose and Jay go into the house with no connections.
No, I honestly think this was great for production because, I mean, they got what they needed of Paulie, like, dropping the bomb about Britney, and then Britney's not there to defend it, and then their big brother duo are not going to throw them under the bus, so they're either going to further the lie or try to not talk about it all together. They're going to be like, oh, you know, maybe that was, like, before our time, or we didn't see it, or whatever it was. And then you got Paulie, the threat of Paulie and Annalise still kind of there in the game, potentially coming back in a few weeks. So I think this is actually a great all-around result.
I agree. I think the fact that Paulie drops the bomb that we'll talk about at the end of the episode is a big factor in making this not a bad situation. I think best case scenario would probably just be Paulie coming back in the house. But as a second runner-up, this is probably the best that they could want.
Yeah, 100%. I would say this is even better than them winning.
Really?
Yeah, because you get... I mean, the reason you would want Paulie to come back is this, like, start drama and, like, spread this lie. But it's a lot easier for him to be caught in the lie if he has to, like, constantly defend it. When he can just drop the bomb and then leave and then Brad's just left stewing, I think that's better.
Somebody asked, where is this? Sorry. God, I pulled this somewhere. Sorry, it doesn't seem to be here. But somebody did say, like, why when Paulie, oh, I have it, sorry. So I thought it was, it's like kind of a good idea that Paulie has, but I don't understand for the life of me why he tells them he's going to do this. Then Jana Morse Hedba says, I can't believe he said it in front of Brittany, and when she had a chance to talk to Brad, she didn't warn him that Paulie was going to lie about it.
I mean, maybe he first said it as kind of a joke and then kind of like laughed it off and then she didn't take it seriously. And then by the time she left the area, his rage just kind of overcome him, and then he just dropped it out.
I don't know. I think Brittany should have been like, by the way, Paulie's going to say some shit. It's not true.
Yeah. Probably.
Oh, who knows? Sure. Who knows? Maybe saying it in front of them made it seem like a joke. So he'd be like, who would actually say that in front of me? There you go. Right. But let's talk about that, the actual challenge for Redemption.
Yeah, so they were each team would be locked in a cage, and they have to kind of twist and pull and get their sledgehammer out from a wall that's in between a little hole, and then once each partner gets it out, they break a sheet of ice and ring a bell.
I liked this challenge. Like, I think they're doing like an okay mix. Mixed gender season, it's tough, so I like that it's like some physicality. They're doing a decent job making it equalized and still interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, it was good. A lot of times with these challenges, the first half is like a good idea, and then it just kind of ends. Like, there should have been something else to do. Like, breaking the ice takes like 10 seconds. So I kind of felt we were missing a step to allow a potential comeback to happen. Like, we needed something else for them to do rather than just taking the sledgehammers and breaking ice and ringing a bell. Which I kind of always feel sometimes MTV does, where they just lack that punchline at the end of a challenge. But the main part of it was interesting enough, especially having each partner having to do it separately.
Well, I also couldn't believe that Natalie couldn't even make progress. Like, by the time Day gets her hammer out, Natalie is not even close. And like, okay, yeah, maybe it's editing, but it did not appear that she was even close to breaking out.
No, I mean, it seems like she just struggles under pressure. Like, she gets flustered. She can't keep her composure. And that's like, you know, almost more than half of what these eliminations come down to is keeping your composure. So that's definitely her weakness right now.
And God damn it, Natalie, now all the thinking that Paulie did and all the time Paulie spent, again, thinking was such a waste of time.
Yeah, all for nothing. All the mental warfare that he was going to unleash on the house that they've never seen before. All for nothing.
The best thing that happened, though, like Brad interrupting Zach and Jenna's goodbye is like my 2018 mood for the rest of the year. Like, that killed me. She's like kissing her boyfriend goodbye, and Brad saunters up and is like, sorry, you didn't get back in, Jenna. Like, she gives a shit what you have to say right now.
Right, yeah. Could not care less.
Oh, we also had a great Mitch Watch moment where Amanda, a fight is breaking out between Paulie and Zach and Brad and really just everyone. And Amanda's there cheering, double fist bumping into the air.
Classic Amanda. That was like what she said. She's like, you know, I kind of just want Paulie to come back so that way these guys can all just like fight each other.
She did tweet that apparently they cut out what Paulie, or this is a quote now, they cut out what Paulie actually called Kyle. Kyle wasn't mad over the word P star. She wrote it, but love it. Eye roll emoji, hashtag the challenge. So apparently they cut out Polly being even more vulgar. So thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what he could have said to spark that, but I guess we'll never know.
You've already hinted at this, but Susie Storm wants to know, in response to Polly basically saying that Chuck and Brittany were hooking up, and that he went as far as to say that Brittany told Chuck that she loved him too, which to me was the dead giveaway that it was a lie, that Polly would know something so specific that Brittany didn't just say, I love you to Chuck, but I love you too, in addition to Brad. Like, that was an ill, like, less detail is more, Polly. Susie Storm says, what's the best way for Jose and Day to deal with the things Polly said to Brad? Tell the truth, continue his lie, or refuse to talk about it?
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, they were, like, lovey-dovey around each other. We didn't specifically see them, like, hook up or anything like that, but, I mean, they were definitely flirty with each other and stuff like that, which is kind of, like, sort of true-ish a little, and then you just kind of let Polly deal with the wrath after.
I don't think Brittany flirted with him. I think Brittany still had a lot of, like, unanswered questions and emotions and feelings. I wouldn't say they were, like, flirting, like, pleasantly. I think it was more like they were fighting a lot, which indicated that they're still feelings.
There's a way to spin it, though. That
I think
explicitly say.
I think it seems like Jose is going to be more on the track of saying what he said to Natalie when she entered the Redemption House. So, like, oh, she's clearly still in love with him, and she's batshit crazy.
Yep.
We got some exciting we got some excited scenarios that are going to come up next week between the meat purge and the Skype conversation between Brad and Brittany, which is really the final reckoning.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun. I'm sure that'll be a very sane conversation had by all.
Is it possible we get three teams to leave in the purge, and then in the following week we get another Redemption House competition?
I mean, I think the way they indicated, it was just the bottom team goes home. So I think this could be the weakest purge yet. I think it's just an elimination, but I think it's being phrased as a purge.
Oh, interesting. I missed that for a change.
Yeah.
I also wonder if there is ever an episode where they could, like, I'd like them to do a purge and then them say, and, like, you're not going to Redemption House. Like, you are leaving. Like, that's a purge.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of did that, right? When they had, like, one team, like, send another team just straight home. Or I guess they sent them to the Redemption House. But yeah,
slash and burn.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the part I missed. Did Marie call Natalie a rat? Did she say she looked like a rat this episode?
Did she look like a rat? I don't think so.
All right, so maybe someone could fill me in at a later date. But there was some shit on Twitter between Marie and Natalie. And Marie said, relax, everyone. Natalie doesn't look like a rat. At that time, I felt she was to be trusted like one because of her relationship with Kaylee. That being said, she is cute and mousy. Say I'm lying. And Corey, who's a person from the internet, said, I feel like this is like the fourth time in two seasons you bash Natalie in confessionals. And then came on Twitter to backtrack and spin a story. Maybe just stop bashing Natalie in confessionals. What an amazing thing that both Brian and I missed Marie's confessional.
I mean, it's honestly, now when you say that, it sounds familiar.
When I tell you, it sounds familiar.
I think she said something about her being, yeah, that sounds a little familiar, but honestly, I couldn't tell you exactly what she said, but I guess that is what she said, so.
Then Marie said, spin what story for ? I told the truth when it was the truth to me. Maybe the truth again right now. Which is, again, another, that's just like saying, I don't have a boyfriend, I have a child. Like, I told the truth when it was the truth to me. That's some George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yep, that's a good one. Oh, I like that one, actually.
I told the truth. I might retweet and pin that tweet. That's pretty good. And then Natalie said, you called me on the phone and would text me all the time, pretending to be my friend before final reckoning. You're fake. You burnt. You fake. Then never fake. Amanda tweeted, hide your GFs. Polly's coming. Boom.
Scandalous.
And then this is what I pulled. And this is me starting. Because I keep going to Brad and Brittany's page. Like, come on. Where's the juice? I want to see the reaction. What's Brad? Maybe they're not allowed to talk about it because shit's going to be resolved next week. But Brad did tweet. This is just me starting a complete rumor. But he did tweet this. Quote, character is who you are when nobody is looking.
Ooh, very deep.
Burn. You burn.
You burn.
Some people wrote 5-star reviews, but I'm not going to thank them individually because I felt like they were so mean. But thank you. No, just kidding. Now, I shouldn't have said that because now they're going to come back.
That was bad. You should have just like, misplaced the names.
I'm just like, Polly. My social game's on fire. All right, I'm going to pull them up. Now I'm going to just make everybody wait. Okay, so Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs 12. We're handing, and folks are overrated. I hope that wasn't about us. Thank you so much. I'd actually like to read... Oh, Forks Are Overrated. I'd like to read Forks Are Overrated's review. Why would it be Folks? It's I'm the limit. The review is 5 stars. And thank you so much. You could write something mean and give us 5 stars. That's fine. I'll sell my soul. The title is called They I It. The text of the review is okay, but with the annoying chirp sound. 5 stars.
I'll take it.
Oh, I'm going to start leaving like mediocre but 5-star reviews on podcasts. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, the 5 stars, is once you get the 5 stars and like words that follow, the words don't really matter. 5 stars.
The words matter to me. The words matter to me, which is why I feel burnt by it. But you can do that too at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. No, it's way, way better than a not 5-star and also hurtful words review. And they're not wrong. My microphone wire broke off into my microphone today, so we're having a good time.
It's been a time.
We have 291 5-star reviews. I feel like we can make it to 300. And if we make it to 300, I'll get a sub for myself in 2 weeks, so you don't have to listen to me.
Oh, I thought you meant like a, I thought you meant like a sandwich.
A sub? No, I'll buy myself a sub sandwich and take
like
something.
A $5 foot long joke, and then I realize what you meant. So,
better not.
That's oh boy. It. You can follow us on Twitter, me at @ConanBryan_.
But why would you want to? Last tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 5. Until then, have a good one.